Greetings, Alpha Seekers, and welcome to Nugent Ventures podcast for January 7th, 2021. And, you know, I did my podcast yesterday early, you know, and I'm not that big a morning person, but turns out there was more news in the afternoon, as no doubt many of you know. Some what I'd probably categorize as tragic events yesterday in terms of people, actually four people dying how would you want to characterize it, you know? But you know what I'm talking about, the Capitol incident, shall we say. I used to watch a group called the Capitol Steps, and they used to do satire about Washington. I don't know if they're still in business, because it's kind of hard to top the actual events with any kind of satire these days. But the Capitol Steps is now taken upon itself a whole new meaning. So I never thought I'd see that day, which just goes to show you never know what's going to happen next. And that's the first rule you need to be mindful of in investing, actually, is you never know what's going to happen next. But I would like to welcome a new listener today who may be one of our Nugent Ventures investors, and I certainly hope so, because he's a very well-qualified individual with a background in healthcare and pharmaceuticals, so would be a real asset to our merry band of banksters, if you will. So we're trying to put on a more professional show today for his benefit. You know, first impressions are important. So we were supposed to have a guest today, and unfortunately the guest canceled, which is probably just as well, because my noted production skills, I wasn't quite sure how to plug them into the podcast. So maybe we'll do like a rehearsal or something. If there's any volunteers. Actually, if anybody wants to be on the program, let me know. Because, you know, we can do like a Mutt and Jeff or, you know, Frickin' Frack or whatever show. So we do have guest spots available for no charge. So you can talk about whatever you want to, and then I'll decide if I'm going to publish it. No, I mean, really, I would welcome a guest, and we can talk about whatever you are fluent in. Keeping it to the investments, of course, and let's not get too political. But the market, Mr. Market, is not political, apparently, because Mr. Market was unfazed, nonplussed by yesterday's action in the Beltway. Mr. Market was up, and I learned this over the summer. Mr. Market was not adversely impacted by the civil unrest we had in the spring and summer. So, you know, and I looked back into time. I got in the Wayback Machine and looked at the market behavior back in the days of the riots when Dr. King was assassinated. And at that time, the last thing on my mind was stocks. I was like, what, 13? 12. What did I know from stocks? But the market didn't miss a beat, oddly enough. You know, the market responds to things that are not the kinds of things that the normal person responds to. So Mr. Market figures, I guess, that, you know, civil unrest is like a passing storm. So that was, you know, I mean, the reaction, as we talked about yesterday, to the Senate, that was a nana. In fact, the market seemed to be pleased with the result, probably because of the promise of stimulus and infrastructure and all that. Of course, as Barack Obama said, there's no such thing as a shovel-ready project. And boy, does he know that now, because he's been trying to do this Obama Center, which I actually applaud, on the south side of Chicago on Jackson Park for like, what, 3 years now? And, you know, the amount of resistance to that is, in my mind, sad, but definitely not shovel ready. So, you know, it's interesting when you follow the market, you learn about a lot of things. And I have learned a lot about how the market reacts to events that have not been that common lately, but not in, you know, last 10 years or 20 years, but certainly have been common this year or last year, 2020, but now this year too. So anyway, so just to reiterate as an introductory for our new listener, what we're trying to accomplish here is to seek alpha. So we try to do better than Mr. Market and beat the S&P and such. And we try to do, you know, very high return and high risk things. And we recommend that people, you know, don't, it's like Vegas, you know, don't put any money on these things that you can't afford to lose. But if you get winners, then you can make dramatic returns. So in Nugent Ventures, where we're at now, is that if you want to participate in that, basically we do what we call a 10-10-10 instrument, which is a 10-month debt instrument for 10% interest. And we're looking for about $10,000. Although, you know, and somebody wanted to put $100 in, and I said, sure, you know. So we're looking for 10, but we'll take what ever you can spare. And what we do with that is basically use it as cash to secure things like short puts. And those of you who have been listening or know something about options know that there's a trade called a risk reversal, which means you sell insurance on a stock, sell a put spread, and then buy a call. So that, and that's also known as a cannonball, which means that you're basically double bullish. But you can do the trade for like virtually nothing or a very small amount of money. And if your timing is right and your direction is right, then you can make a lot of money. I made $30,000 on a trade like that one day on Apple going into earnings. But if you are wrong, and you're long and wrong, you're double long and wrong, so that you lose the money on your call, and then you also, you know, lose on the short put. And the only thing that happens is you get assigned the stock and you sell it. So it's not the end of the world, but it is the end of the premium that you made and on the put sale, and also the premium you spent on your call. So the perfect setup is like we had on Moderna and we had on BioNTech. And we doubled our money. That was great. And actually, the variation on the theme is that we've been selling puts in that part of in those two stocks. And then we were long deep in the money calls. Now, deep in the money calls, the good thing about deep in the money calls is that they you don't lose the time value, particularly if you buy it, you know, if you time it right, you're not going to lose your premium. Unless the stock goes below the strike price of the deep in the money call, whereas you're a lot more likely to lose money on an out of the money call, and then you have to keep rolling the trade over. In other words, once 1 month expires, you got to buy another one. So my partner, who's my options operator actually, and it's been trained by Dan Keegan, the options thinker, highly recommended. You know, he got tired of losing his money on those calls, or losing our money. So he started doing the deep in the money call. And we doubled our money over the fall when Moderna and BioNTech got approved. And then we went back to the well. And that proved to be a poor choice. I had my trepidation about that, but we decided to do it because we're like, what? How could this stock go down? Like Moderna was at 170. How could it go below 150? Well, we found out how, which is that there were some people who, which we didn't know, got approval to sell there. It was insiders who got approval to liquidate their shares up there. And that was good for them, but not so good for us. And then people are doing tax sales at the end of the year, which one of my financial guys told me wasn't something to worry about. Well, in the aggregate, no, but in individual stocks, there were winners, you know. So we're in the point here where we're kind of in our training wheels and we're playing with our own money. We only have one other investor, and he made out because we offered that 10-10-10 deal. And the 10-10-10 deal means that, like almost nothing else in life, you know, you've got unlimited upside, essentially, and no downside, because you get 10% on your money no matter what happens. Gee, wish I could find a deal like that. But you can't. So we'll make you good, you know? And because basically what we're doing with your money is just using it as cash to secure our trades. And if we win, then that's not going to be an issue. You know, it's easier for us to pay your 10%. And if we lose, well, then we eat the 10%. That's all there is to it. Now, in March, hopefully, that's our target date, we're going to get a broker-dealer license. And at that point, or affiliation or whatever you call it, and at that point, we'll be able to take your money and put it into the LP or whatever it is. And then you'll be at risk on the upside and the downside, and that 10-10-10 deal won't be available. But until that time, that deal's available. So, you know, if you're going to get in on this, get in on it soon, because it will expire as soon as we get a broker-dealer thing. And then your choice will be to either get in the boat with us and sink or swim with us, or, you know, and then you'll have exposure to the downside. But right now, since we can't really offer the thing, without a broker-dealer license, we're just borrowing your money and guaranteeing you 10%. So, backed by the full faith and credit of me. So, and I'm good for it. And my partner, and he's good for it. So, there you go. That's what we're up to here. And we played a few things last year that were not in the biotech space. And, I should mention, the other thing we do is, like, for a stock, like, we were in Sereno, we still are in Sereno, actually, which didn't go anywhere, but we've been selling calls, writing calls, which is an easy strategy. The good thing about Sereno is it never goes anywhere. I thought this was going to be the next Moderna for about 3 hours one day, and that's why we bought it, and then I realized this guy is full of it. So, but it stays at $5 to $8, you know, it stays in that range. So if you sell $10 call spreads on it, you make money every year or every expiration. So we are playing that, and that's done well for us. And then we've got a long position in a company that's run by a guy named Tim Walbert, and his wife works there too. And I know those people, and I believe in those people, and we're long that stock because it's like a single dollar, it's under $10. So the stock basically is an option, and the reason we're in that is I don't think Tim Walbert wastes his time. So I'm sure that I'm banking on the fact that there's something there that eventually will profit. And we'll just hold that until something good happens, or not, or, you know, until we dissolve the fund, if we ever do. So that's what we're up to, and this is for the benefit of our new listener. And so let's move on to updates. And, of course, Nugent Ventures, those of you who are regular listeners will know that Nugent Ventures has an exciting LinkedIn page. And this is where we post writing worth reading, if you will. And I've started to, I used to print things out because I'm old and I'm analog. But, you know, these printer cartridges are expensive. Plus, you know, I end up, like, those of you who have seen my office know that I'm, you know, kind of in a paper thing here. So I don't want to be a hoarder, you know, like that program on television. So to save money and space and, you know, get more Steve Jobish and digital, what I'm doing is if I see something that I want to hang on to, I am just putting it out on the Nugent Ventures exciting LinkedIn page. And so if you see something out there, don't think that, hey, you know, Nugent thinks this is a buy. Just think, Nugent thinks this is worth looking into, and this is his file cabinet. This is what used to be his messy desk. Okay. I think it's worth taking a looky look, but I'm not banging on the table. And in some cases, it may be, you know, something I think is, not a good thing that I might even want to short. So it's like my reading list, and now it's yours, if you so choose. So, anyway, we're up to 91 followers, folks, and the reason is that we invited a bunch of people to follow the page, and guess what? They did. So another thing I'm involved with, just as a little commercial, is a company called The Litigation Connection, but we also function as The LinkedIn Connection. So one of the great things about having LinkedIn followers is you can send them an unlimited amount of messages, and if you have a company page, which you should if you have a company, then you can invite 100 of them to follow it for no charge. And to the extent that somebody follows, then you get another credit so you can invite somebody else. So you should invite people, if you're going to do that, who you think will accept the invite. And then, you know, one of the reasons that people are kind of skeptical about company pages is because, you know, not that many people follow a company page compared to how many people follow you as a person if you were, you know, a followable type. But here's the thing. If you've got employees and then they leave, I mean, you want them to follow your company because otherwise they go with the employee and employees come and go. So anyway, let's see what we put out there within the last 24 hours. I put a couple of quick notes. And this is another thing. I watch CNBC, so you don't have to. And it's not an easy job. It was very tough yesterday. And bad for my productivity, such as it is. But sometimes I'll jot down a little handwritten note, and that gets to be a pile of stuff, too. So now I'm just kind of transcribing those notes onto the Nugent Ventures LinkedIn page. And here's an example. Two quick quotes yesterday from CNBC that I made that were notable. Art Cashin, who's one of my favorite guys, I wish I could get his morning report, but I think you have to be a UBS customer, and I'm not. So Art puts the velocity of money this way. The velocity of money is an economic term, which means that you can print a lot of money, and if it doesn't go anywhere, then it doesn't necessarily create inflation. If it just sits in a bank account or something, the inflation starts to happen when the money starts to move. And the way the money moves, as Art put it, is it's either lent or spent. So if the banks start lending money, then that becomes inflationary because people can go out and buy stuff with borrowed money. And then spend, you know, that's the other part of lent. So if the banks can't lend you anything, which they can't, I mean, they've got so many things now in terms of creditworthiness for the financial reform in 2010, Dodd-Frank, they can't, you know, you can pump all the money in the banks you want, but they aren't going to lend it. So that doesn't do any good in terms of stimulus. And that also, of course, doesn't inflate the currency, which the Fed is desperately trying to do. So, you know, it's like the gears are stuck. Well, that's what happens when you start to play around with the market, right? Here's another one 18 hours ago. The only incontrovertible evidence that the past offers about financial markets is that they will surprise us in the future. The corollary to this historical law is that the future will most brutally surprise those who are the most certain they understand it. Which gets us to something that I just saw today, and I meant to mention, but I forgot. This is something that is an ancient Greek thing. Today I got an invite from LinkedIn, and it was addressed to me as Terry Nugent, and it said, here's somebody you may want to follow. And it was me. It said, Terry Nugent, you may want to follow Terry Nugent. And how would that happen? I think I have a duplicate LinkedIn account someplace. So I put out there a quote that said, know thyself. And then, you know, Plato said, know thyself, and LinkedIn says, connect with thyself. So that was my little, you know, I must have my little joke. And that was my joke du jour. But in researching the attribution on that, I learned something, as I often do, which is it's actually a quote that was on one of the Greek temples, and the Oracle of Delphi used to say it. Not the Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett, but the Oracle of Delphi in the ancient Greek religion. And there were three things that the oracle said. One is, know thyself. The other was, I don't know if I can remember all three of them. This is what kept me out of medical school and law school. But the other one was something along the lines of, you know, the arrogant will be punished worse than anybody. Those who are, surety is a sure way to encounter what the Greeks used to call hubris. So beware of those who are overly sure. Let me see if I can do a little Google search here and see if I can find this. Know thyself, oracle. Hey, I got skills. You know, I can Google stuff. Know thyself. Greek oracle. Let's see what that. My wife's a classics major, so. And well, my internet's down. So, I guess we're not going to hear that one. But look forward to another episode where maybe I'll get back to that, or maybe I won't. Another thing I put out there, 18 hours ago, was a big LinkedIn moment for me on Nugent Venture. Investors learned to love unified government. In other words, the market went up, and, you know, the Senate went blue, and the market went up. And what I was hearing, and this wasn't like somebody said to me, oh, you just listen to fear-mongering. Well, I don't listen to fear-mongers. I listen to talking heads on CNBC. And, you know, they're talking green. They're not talking blue or red. And people were saying it's going to be a 10% correction. Well, there wasn't. Market went up. So go figure. And then I put something out there a day ago, and this may be redundant for you regular listeners. The bear case against Bitcoin, and the title of the article is Worth Exactly Zero, Crypto and Bitcoin, a Pure Techno-Babble Bubble. And I think that's interesting, because today it went over $40,000. And, you know, not too long ago it was worth $12,000. So this is like one of those momentum trades, and I was talking to our new listener today, and neither one of us are momentum people. You know, I am usually late to that party on the momentum side, and I'm the guy who loses the game of musical chairs. So I do my best not to self-flagellate when I miss something like Bitcoin, because it's just not where it's not how I'm going to make money. A lot of traders will tell you that you will make more money on momentum trades than anything else. And that may well be true, but that just isn't my destiny, I'm afraid. I'm never one to hop in there early. And that is the end of the LinkedIn Nugent Ventures page recap. But you can go out there yourself. I encourage you to follow it. And you'll be the first to know then what I put out there. And I try to put out there writing worth reading. So I guess that's about it for today. I don't want to overwhelm my latest listener. So we keep it under half an hour. Just so you know, some days this thing is longer. Sometimes I do an hour. And it's all extemporaneous. And it has absolutely no production value. So there's no music. You know, there's no professional announcer. There's none of that stuff. Because number one, I can't really afford it. But number two, I don't know how to do it. I mean, there's what, you know, there's all these capabilities in this app, and I have no idea how it works. I'm lucky to be able to just get this thing, you know, push the button to publish it. So, you know, if you're looking for a well-produced, high-tech podcast with all sorts of music and, you know, interludes and such, this isn't for you. But if you're looking for, you know, a lot of hot air from me, you know, that's somebody today. I should get a job like filling hot air balloons. But, you know, I mean, I hope that I provide some valuable information here. So we seek to entertain and inform. It's like Kramer, except much lower key. Very Midwestern, not a New York Philly thing, you know. So I talk pretty slow, and I try to communicate clearly. And so, you know, if you like it, well, you join the merry band of Nugent Ventures Alpha Seeker listeners. It's not many of us, but you know, the few, the proud. The Marines. Now, but we appreciate it. And as long as I have listeners, I'll keep talking, you know? So, we appreciate your attention. And as we always say at the end, live long, prosper, stay safe. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.